Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. As always, so glad you're here for some awesome listener questions. This is the show that is driven by you with your questions. And by answering those questions, we hope that we have some fun Disney conversations, but also we all get better Disney vacations out of this. So we've got an awesome question from Rockville, Maryland. It's the Andrews family asking for the best way to distribute their dining plan credits. So I love talking food and talking about dining reservations. So stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on your days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my iPhone XS Max, I can see that I'm down to 42 days to go till we head back to Walt Disney World for the Summit Cheerleading Championships with Mallory's squad down there. We're going to have a great time. I really don't know what's going on with all the cheerleading stuff, but hey, I know how to eat and I know how to go to the theme parks, and that's what matters. You can count on to your next Disney vacation as well. Turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check it out over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast with our Amazon affiliate link. Every purchase really does add up, and it really does matter. Please bookmark the site on all your devices and use it as often as you can. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1461 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. That's right. I just like to think of us in my mind's eye as like little elves working. Well, we don't all work at the North Pole. We kind of are scattered all around the country, but well, some of us do have pointy ears and wear weird hats. I don't know, but the most important thing is we plan great vacations for guests. So bottom line, there you go. All right, so we are here to answer your listener questions on a Wednesday, and we appreciate everybody dropping in live here on Facebook as we record. Ricky is not with us. She is doing something with Facebook, some high-level meeting. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe she did something wrong. Maybe she's going to be the next CEO of media relations with Zuckerberg. I don't know, but she's not here today. But you know what? Pam Forrester's here. She's from the Magic for Less Travel, and she has all the answers. So what's up, Pam? How you doing?
Oh, all the answers. Well, I hope I have all the answers. I would just like to say that. I try to have all the answers.
Yeah, well, there you go. So apparently, so today we're starting our 12th year of podcasting. You know, we celebrated our 11th birthday this past Monday. So, apparently, from our chat room, the anniversary for our when we get to the 12th anniversary, the gift is pearls. It could be silk or linen, it says, depending on, like, your traditional or modern. So, there we go. So, next year, we're looking at that.
Pearls, silk, or linen. So, the next time we're in Epcot, you know, in Japan, they have that place where they sell those beautiful pearl necklaces.
Oh, yeah. They got the. You know what? I could care less about the pearl. I like the show. I like the drums.
I want one of the necklaces, though, that are already made. Like the ones you see, like, behind the glass there. True. You know, they have that whole section. So I think, Mike, are you going to get Ricky and I that? Because it's pearls.
That's it. You know what? I'll buy you a pick of pearl, and we'll fish it out. And, you know, it's always like, you're always like, oh, man, I'm going to hit the one that looks like a bowling ball. And you always get the one that kind of looks like a little pea.
Then we'll have it made into something.
That's it. That's it. I just like how they make the big presentation with the little like ruler that has the holes and it drops. Oh no, it's too big to fit in that one. Oh, it went through that one. You know, so there you go. You got a 7. I love that stuff. I don't even know what it means.
7 millimeters.
What does it mean? It's just fun. And you know what? Like, I bet you Paige and Mallory have probably done that 2 or 3 times each. Who knows where those things are? They're gone. They're in a little baggie somewhere.
Years from now, someone will be digging in St. Louis and find a pearl and be very confused.
Yes, that's exactly. You know what? We're actually right now, it's spring break here in St. Louis, and we are planning to put the house on the market here in the next month. So we're painting and we're decluttering. So as we record this podcast today, I'm probably losing all my worldly possessions upstairs because they know I'm busy and they're throwing all my stuff away.
That happens in our house.
I'm just saying. I'll go upstairs. Nothing will be left.
It does happen in our house, too.
All right. Let's get to the listener questions. We have a question from the Andrews family in Rockville, Maryland. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. It's titled Disney Dining Plan Strategy Help. We're heading to the world over Memorial Day weekend for 5 days, starting at French Quarter. We'll be adding the dining plan. I have ADRs at the following. Oh, we shouldn't be doing this at lunch. Le Cellier for dinner, Tusker House for breakfast, Hollywood and Vine for breakfast, Olivia's late lunch. Oh my gosh, the hidden one. Artist Point for dinner. Well, I guess that's a new one. Garden Grill for breakfast and Rose and Crown for dinner. Since we only have 5 table service credits, which would you recommend we use our credits on? I'm reluctant to use 2 credits for Le Cellier and think I might pay out of pocket for Olivia's. Any suggestions? We love the podcast. The Andrews. I was going to say sisters, but they're the family. All right. That's just one for the older crop. So I see what they're doing here. They have more ADRs than they do dining plan credits, which sometimes does happen. But they're looking to get the most bang for their buck out of those credits. So again, Le Cellier, signature, dinner. Tusker House, breakfast. Hollywood and Vine, breakfast. Olivia's late lunch. Artist Point, dinner. Garden Grill, breakfast. Rose and Crown, dinner. Which one? Let's go with which one would you pay out of pocket for? And I think she or he is on the exact right track with that, what they said.
So first of all, because of these meals, look at the deluxe dining plan.
That's true.
Because you may save money doing that. So just think about that. Do the math. I'm not sure how many days you're there for, but and all of that. But so anyways... and then if you're looking to pay out of pocket, I would honestly pay out of pocket for your signature experiences. I think that the taking of 2 credits is a challenge in that space when you're on the regular dining plan. And I think it makes a lot more sense to pay for your signature meals out of pocket for sure.
And what I would say too, is if you're looking for another one, Olivia's is very reasonable. So that might be one where you pay out of pocket and use the credit for another experience. Because again, I go there because it's good value, you know, and I'm not on the plan. So that's what I would do.
Yep.
All right. We have a question in the live Facebook chat. Let me find it. Scroll down, scroll down, scroll down from one of our friends here, Drew Ponder. He's up at the 6140 Run store in Illinois. And he says he has the opportunity for a last minute solo trip next week. So a little spring break action. Never been solo before. What would you recommend? So I've done this many times for Run Disney weekends. I just did this for Princess, and it was almost a solo trip. And January for Marathon, Scott decided he got the FOMO and came down, which made the trip all the better. But Pam, what do you say to folks who, I mean, especially like last minute, like, I mean, he's going like within a week, so you can't make ADRs at 180. You're not making fast passes at 60. What are you thinking?
So it's funny. I think the last minute trips are great, by the way. I had spoke about ours, you know, not too long ago. We were able to do so many things that we wanted to do. We got fast passes. I was on the Magic Kingdom, did rolling fast passes for days and days, got the dessert party for that day. So my husband did not have to wait standing in front of the castle for an hour and a half trying to get the perfect spot to watch those fireworks. So that was awesome. Definitely, I still think that a Disney resort, you know, whatever you can get at a special rate, and there still are some special rates out there. So if you can get something with that, I would stay at any of the resorts that had something there. The other thing I'm going to say is if you're looking for dining or fast pass reservations, keep checking the day before, the morning of, hit that app a lot and look for different choices because so many things become available last minute. So make sure that you do that too. And I would absolutely, I mean, even a solo trip, you're going to want to plan some ADRs to see what you can get that's out there. There's always something and try for that.
Yeah, the best part about a last minute trip, especially if it's kind of like what I consider a gravy trip, like which is what my Princess vacation was, because obviously I wasn't going there with the family. We take our big summer vacations every year, and sometimes we do a cruise with that. Sometimes we don't. But that's like the trip. So I'm really focused on that one. We're going to do this. We're going to have these reservations. With these, you know, last minute trips, just go and have a blast. Because when you're by yourself, the flexibility is off the hook. You know, you can just go do whatever you want. And you can squeeze in at a lounge and have a lunch or a dinner. No ADR necessary. Like I did, I snuck in Beer Garden. I mean, that's a table service. No problem. Walked right in, ate when I got there. The flexibility is incredible. And try a lot of counter service. Snack a lot. You know what I'm saying? And go have fun. So, yeah, have a good time. And check out Drew's store up in Illinois if you're a runner. Check it out. All right, next we have a question from Dwayne Connolly in the chat. Doing Star Wars race weekend in 2 weeks. I can't believe Star Wars is that close. Unbelievable. My birthday is the day before the expo, and I'm doing all four parks on that day. God help you if you're doing four parks and a race weekend. There you go. I have a reservation to Garden Grove, Beaches and Cream, and 50s Primetime. Do you have any suggestions of things to do at the parks on your birthday? So if he's doing all four parks on his birthday, suggestions for other birthday things. I would obviously say get the button, wear it loud and proud. You're going to get a little magic, maybe, maybe not, but it never hurts. I don't know, other than maybe catch a picture with a character, your favorite character. I would have to get a picture with Buzz on my birthday. That's my favorite character. What, I mean, because he's already doing a challenge. What do you say, Pam?
Yeah, the button is key. You'll get so many people that are, you know, that I think guests, like sometimes when we're walking through, I'll see someone with a birthday button say, oh, happy birthday or happy anniversary or whatever it may be. So that's kind of a cool thing. Absolutely make sure that it's noted on your reservation. Again, you know, no guarantees that something will happen, but a little pixie dust may happen, and that's a cool thing. Make sure when you're dining, you go ahead and, you know, when you make those reservations to have that noted as well. And I think just, you know, enjoy being there on your birthday, right? I mean, that's a fun thing. I think the photo pass, always a good thing. If you had, you know, a little sign you could pull out every now and then saying it's my birthday, yeah, I think that would be a fun thing. And I think the photo pass photographers would really play along with that. I think that would be a cool thing. You know, and I don't know, maybe you want to be one of those people who gets like a balloon.
Or what if you got like a cupcake? Say like you're at the Magic Kingdom, you buy like one of those really fancy cupcakes, and then I don't know if you'd have a candle because that's fire. That's probably not, it's probably against some kind of rule. But I mean, pretend like you're blowing out the candle in front of the castle. That'd be sweet. That'd be a good picture.
Right? You
know, not a full cake, but a cupcake. I mean, they're in abundance. I don't know. I'm not a great birthday guy, but that's what I do. All right, next in the chat, Meryl's got a question. We're going to be in Hollywood Studios a few days after the opening of the new Lightning McQueen Ka-chow Racing Academy. And that's really not part of the name. Any info on this new show? Will fast passes be available? Thinking some in our party, including my 4-year-old son, would like this better than Star Tours. Dang, where's Ricky? Because Ricky is the breaking news person. She covers this for the Mouse for Less, and I'm looking at Pam, and I think she may be looking up some information on the Mouse for Less to give us a great information. So what do we know about Lightning McQueen over... I saw the signs in, and it looked really cool. It kind of looked like something they stole out of Radiator Springs out in Disneyland when I saw it.
Yeah, it does. It looks, I mean, it looks like a fun thing. And I don't think that we have gotten the information on whether there's going to be a fast pass or not available for this attraction yet. Sometimes they don't let us know until very close to it. But I'm getting the feeling that it's going to be one of those things. I just don't know if there will be fast pass at, you know, I just haven't heard that.
I think what this is going to be from, and again, I don't know a whole lot about it because I haven't been spending a lot of time looking. This is one of those sleepers. It's kind of like Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Everything is Galaxy's Edge, especially over the past 2 or 3 weeks in my life. It's definitely changed since they made the announcement. But I would guess what I'm trying to draw the comparison with this to is kind of Enchanted Tales with Belle. I think it's going to be more of like a hybrid experience, kind of like a character meet and greet, but kind of not, kind of story driven or show driven.
Right.
Is that what you're kind of thinking? Like, it's almost like it'd be a hybrid thing, I think.
I agree. It absolutely will be. There will be a show component of it that features Lightning in particular. It talks about this fact that he's going to show that he has this wraparound screen and how that sort of works out. It's called the state-of-the-art racing simulator. So anyways, there'll be a storyline with that, But then you'll see some of the other people besides Lightning, like Tomator and Cruz. And then at the end, you will have the opportunity to meet with Cruz, to get your picture taken with Cruz. So...
yeah, and I mean, she said she mentions her four-year-old. I would do both Star Tours and this if you can. I mean, I wouldn't say, like, you have to do one or the other. I think that...
right, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, Star Tours is going to be obviously be a lot more intense because it's a simulator with lots of action. For a four-year-old, it might be too much. It is for me. I love Star Wars. It just makes me sick. I hate that.
Me too.
I hate that. I try it, like, every few years. Like, maybe I'm a big boy now. That I'm
I do,
in my
too.
Mid-40s.
And
now
I regret
tours.
It within the first 30
seconds. As soon as that door
you
closes...
the
yeah, as soon as that door goes... I'm like, oh crap, I made the wrong decision again.
No.
Every time I start
sweating. And I've tried everything. People are like, sit in the front, it's better. Sit in the back, it's better. Sit in the middle, it's better. And I'm always like, okay, I feel sick. Am I either closing my eyes or not closing my eyes? It's not that it's rough.
No.
It's like it's something with the screen, the sinking of the screen and the motion that really gets me.
Yeah. Yeah, at this such point, it's all in my head, too. Yeah, I'm a goner. All right, next question. It says, it's from Melissa in DFW, which I'm guessing is Dallas-Fort Worth. It says, first-time pass holder question. First of all, congratulations. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, on my most recent solo trip to the world, I upgraded my ticket to an annual pass. The idea behind this was to get some sweet discounts in for a family trip I'd like to take with my husband and two kids in November of this year. I'm pricing the trip on Disney site and have some confusion. How can I book the trip with one pass holder in the bunch? When I price the trip to add or and go to add tickets, it wants me to add tickets for everyone in the group. And of course, I don't need tickets for myself. Should I do a room only reservation and then buy tickets in a different transaction, then connect the two? Also, if I book the trip before AP discounts hopefully come out for the dates we've chosen, will I be able to add that to an existing reservation? Help me, BOGP. You're my only hope. Thanks for making every day magical. Your pal, Melissa. And Melissa, let me tell you about this. So this is my world right here. This is one that's in my wheelhouse, boy. This is like when I used to be a teacher and it came to finding least common denominators and greatest common multiple. Man, I was in my wheelhouse there. That's what I taught every year, and I did that well. So the way you do this, when you have an annual pass holder and you have somebody in the family, like you're the annual pass holder in the family, everybody else is going to need Magic Your Way tickets. You stumbled upon it. You found it. What you do is, there's actually a couple ways to do it. So one is you could book it as a room only, get the room, and then buy the tickets a la carte. And then what you do is you type in the confirmation from the ticket purchase. You assign those tickets to the other members of the family, you know, husband, kids. You have your tickets. Everybody then has tickets. You have a room. You can make your fast passes at 60 days. Easy peasy. You can also book. I'm thinking if you wanted dining. So I was thinking of a ticketless package with dining. You're not talking about dining. So you wouldn't have to worry about that. So that's the way I would go about that. And yes, you can apply future discounts to existing reservations. But here's the great news. And again, I know I'm plugging it. Pam likes travel agents, and that's how I make my living. This is what we do for our guests every day for no cost. So if you really wanted to make this easy, you work with a travel agent. I know a couple that are really good, you know, and they're going to check that for you every day. That annual pass discount comes out. It may or may not this year with Galaxy's Edge being in November. Who knows? It depends on, it's based on occupancy. If there's a lot of empty beds, they'll throw it out there. If the resort's sold out, you know, for your week, you may not get an AP discount, but you know what? It never hurts. You're not going to lose money. You're going to get the same price no matter what, but you got somebody looking out for you. But that's how you do it. You just book the tickets a la carte for everybody else. Book it as room only. Everybody's set. Right, Pam?
That's exactly it. It's funny. You know, we have a lot of guests who come to us who say, I've been trying to use that Disney site and I don't know how to do it. And it doesn't seem like it's right. And we're like, girl, we know, we know.
Welcome
we deal
to
with
my
it every
world.
Day.
Yeah, it's not any easier for us. We just have to stick with it because it's our life.
No, but thankfully we know what kind of things you can book online and what kind of things
yes.
you have to call for and what kind of things you have to, you know, finagle with the system. So anyways, but yes, absolutely, book it as a room only rate. The Disney system is not one that will, once you're in a package, you have to get the same components for each person. So if you're getting tickets for one person, you have to get tickets for everyone. If you're getting dining for one person, you have to get dining for everyone. So just consider all that when you're making those reservations. But yep, absolutely, room only is the way to go for you.
All right, Rachel Renee in the chat has a question. We just returned from our Disney trip this past Saturday, and we're planning our next trip. We're looking at going April of 2020 for our middle daughter's 10th birthday. Our girls are currently 11, 9, and almost 6. We're DVC owners, and our home resort is Copper Creek. Very nice. We just stayed at Bay Lake Tower, and I'm looking at our next resort. Does Boardwalk have activities for kids of that age? Our middle daughter was fascinated with the gondolas we saw last week and is a huge Star Wars fan, so I thought the Epcot Air Resort would be a good idea. Yes. You know what? Here's the thing, Pam. I mean, I think you're noticing this more and more. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more on Friday, because we're going to continue that series where we talked a few weeks back about why is a moderate resort perfect for this stay. On Friday, we're going to talk about why go with a deluxe resort. And one of the reasons to pick a deluxe resort is more activities at your resort. There's a lot going on that makes going into the park secondary some days, which is amazing when you're talking about Walt Disney World theme parks. But I think you've been to the Boardwalk recently, and Beach Club and Yacht Club kind of in that area. They have the same kind of stuff going on. But I think, you know, perfect for this trip, it sounds like.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many reasons to stay there. I love, you know, first of all, some of the resort activities, but the pools. I will just say, so many people say when you take your kids on this vacation, one of the things when you ask them like a few months later what they remember is the resort pool.
Mm-hmm. To every kid. I mean, me too. Because what were we talking about? What were we talking about before we started recording today? After the cruise, I'm staying at Yacht Club. You're staying at Boardwalk. I'm like, ooh, you get the clown pool, but I get Storm Along Bay. It didn't talk about the rooms. We talked about the pools.
I know. It's true. But you do remember those pools. You do really enjoy those pools. It's something, you know, that's a big deal. And the accommodations are a little more plush. Let's face it, you're paying more money because you're experiencing a different level of amenity. Is it perfect for every trip or every person? It may not be. But, you know, it may be something that really enhances your trip. And I think, too, one of the things that I'll always encourage people to do is when you're staying at one of these lovely resorts, make time to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, there are so many things, even not just the pools, the restaurants, the activities, the shopping, the everything. It's really worth it. They do a good job with so many of these resorts, and you can stay at a different resort all over the place, but you can only stay at a Disney resort at Disney. And I know I say that all the time, but it's really true. There is something about a Disney resort. So,
well, especially too, when you're DVC, you know, and I'm not. So I remember when I first kind of got into the Disney stuff, you know, we've been doing the show for 11 years now. So, you know, 15 years or so ago, God, I can't believe it's been that long. Holy God, maybe more than 15 years. But it was like, since I wasn't DVC, I was scared to death. Like it seemed to me like a club that I just couldn't peek into, you know, like I can't look at Old Key West. That's a DVC resort. You know, don't even look, you know, driving past, if you're going to French Quarter, don't look on your right there. You know, you're not DVC. You don't have the hat, you know, or whatever, the blue backpack. So I was always, you know, I never considered them. Then I stayed at Old Key West one time, fell in love. You know, stated Animal Kingdom Lodge, they have a DVC component, fell in love. Boardwalk, same thing, fell in love. The thing that I noticed was when we're there and, you know, you're kind of a part of, you know, because you can stay there on cash, but they're DVC members, so more proud of them. But like, for example, Pam, that solarium at the Beach Club Villas. I mean, when you go in there, and I've seen this at Old Key West, the community center. I mean, if you're talking about activities for kids of that age, say like 11 to you know, 3 to 11 or 3 to 15, there's a lot of arts and crafts. There's a lot of things that are very much like a summer camp type stuff, and you can make souvenirs to take home. I think that's one of the hidden things that Disney doesn't talk about that I think is for kids that age, besides the pool, they're going to talk about what they did in the community center.
I agree. The community center is a great resource. Some of the activities you have to pay for, but you're walking away with like a craft. Mm-hmm. Be it, you know, the little melty beads, you know, that kids always, you have to iron and then you make something, or a mug or a photo frame or something. You're walking away with a craft, which I think is a fantastic memory. A lot of the activities you don't have to pay for. There's games, there's movies, there's things to do. I think so often when you're traveling with a group of people that is your family, you're thinking about, you're kind of assuming about the things that they're going to want to do, right? So you make all, you plan these plans. You're like, we're going this, 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 and this with attractions. We're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this. And sometimes one of the big chunks that's sort of missing from everyone's vacation plans is a little bit of downtime.
Yeah, seriously. That's one thing, it never gets planned. And it just doesn't, and it's sad, but it doesn't happen a lot of times.
No, because you don't plan for your kids to go watch a movie in community hall, or for all of you to go watch the movie Under the Stars, or for you to take an afternoon and, you know, hang out by the pool. But I'm telling you, those are the times where when I'm done with my vacation, I most remember.
Yes.
It's not that like, oh, I am so glad I rode Pooh today. You know what I mean? It's like looking back on that, right? Mm-hmm. I am like, oh my gosh, I am so glad we took that afternoon to hang out by the pool. Remember, we got lunch there. We had, you know, we had drinks there. We played that game. We played the trivia game. We killed it, the trivia game, by the way.
That's what I heard.
Those kind of things. Those are the things you remember.
But I think, you know, and again, we'll get to the next question because I want to get through as many as we can. But the thing about that is it is so, so hard to plan downtime when, especially on those first few trips to Walt Disney World, because I think a lot of people consider downtime wasted time. And what it is, like you said, it could be the best time, but there's always that temptation. While I'm at the pool, what's going on at Epcot? You know, should I be riding Soarin' right now? Or, you know, and then you find yourself at the pool looking at the My Disney Experience app saying, Test Track's only 40 minutes right now. I haven't seen it below 60 the whole time I've been here. You got to enjoy the moment. You got to enjoy where you are. And you know what? If you let yourself enjoy that pool over at Coronado Springs or at Animal Kingdom Lodge, wherever you're putting your hat that night, God, that's the stuff vacation's made of.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Those are where you make the memories. So,
all righty, next question. Heading back to the inbox because this one's titled The Old Family Who Lived in the Shoe. You know what? That's getting red. Here we go. Emma. It's from Emma in the UK even. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. We're beginning to plan our Walt Disney trip for April 2020. We'll be a party of nine, but trying to avoid needing three separate rooms. I'm thinking the suites at Art of Animation only sleep up to six, so wondering what some other options might be. It'll be myself, my partner, and three-year-old, my brother, sister-in-law, and a six-month-old, my mom, little brother, and cousin, so at least three sleeping areas is a must. Would appreciate any tips you guys have. Keep up the great work. Emma. Okay, so first of all, like a big two-bedroom villa would work well at one of the DVC accommodations. You can book those. But again, there's not a lot of those. So that being said, what are some other creative ways we can get three sleeping areas without getting three rooms? What do you think, Pam?
Two suites?
I mean, you could do two suites like Art of Animation.
You could. And I just honestly, I almost think as if three rooms is not a bad idea.
I agree.
I understand you're wanting, you know, everyone to be together, but there are some definite pluses in giving everyone a little bit of space, first of all. Just to decompress, and maybe you need to go back to your room and, you know, have a discussion with your family about something, you know what I mean? That you don't want everyone else to hear. Maybe one family like naps more or sleeps more, or somebody snores, or you know what I mean? There's just so many reasons to think about those three rooms. The big reason is, of course, three bathrooms.
Yes.
You each have a bathroom you can use. When you're on vacation, you're going to be spending so much time together. And three rooms may be the best option in terms of value as well. When you're looking at three rooms at a value or three rooms at a moderate versus even a two bedroom or something like that at one of the villa, you know, accommodations, sometimes the three rooms might be a better value. So don't discount those three rooms for that reason. The other reason, you know, because you have nine, there are actually moderate resorts that accommodate up to five guests. So you could do five in one, four in the other. But again, you're spending a lot of time together. So just consider that.
You got to like each other. I'm just saying, I mean, in some families that is not a problem, but I need a little, there's just times I need privacy. I mean, you know, we just need a little privacy sometimes. This is how it is. I don't know. That's me.
Yeah.
I get grumpy.
No, everyone does. I think.
Well, because, I mean, the thing is, when you're at Walt Disney World, it's so, like, it's just, it's so fun, but it's so stimulating all the time. But, man, you need a quiet room sometimes. Everybody does. Everybody.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I understand, like, we have a lot of families that come to us and say, okay, we're doing this because we want to spend time together, because we want to do this, that, or the other thing. We totally understand. We're just giving you a little bit of, you know, the benefit of our experience in this space. And sometimes a little distance makes things run smoother.
So. And the thing is, like, we travel together all the time. Like, we're going to be cruising together this summer. We're going to be at Walt Disney World together this summer. I love you guys like family. You, Steve, Hannah, you know, the Gardeners, all of us that hang out, Ricky and, you know, everybody. The Lawrence is going to be hanging with us. We got so many folks. George is coming over from Hawaii. But guess what? None of those people want to be with me 24/7. And I would not do that to anybody 24/7 because too much Mike is just too bad. I need to have quiet time. You need time away from me. And everybody needs to remember that. You know, like, I get it. Families want to be together, but you don't want to be together 24/7 because you're not like that in the real world. You know, you need to be together, but not all the time. Anyway.
I know. I agree.
All right. Check out this next question. It is from Israel. Check this out. That's awesome.
Wow.
I know. I love this. It still blows me away. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I have a question, please. We are from Israel, and we are planning a visit to Orlando again the entire month of September 2019. How about that? Coming over for a whole month. I love it.
I love that.
All right, two questions. Number one, we are not interested at all in Galaxy's Edge or Star Wars, but more in the Animal Kingdom. Do you think that the opening date for Star Wars Land will affect the Animal Kingdom crowds? All right, so they have a second question, but address that one, Pam, because Ricky and I had this conversation on the live show that we recorded on Sunday night as we took listener questions. It'll be out on the feed on tomorrow, on Thursday. And I'm of the mindset that you can have a great Disney vacation post August 29th when Galaxy's Edge opens. If you're a Star Wars fan, it's going to be awesome because you can be there when it opened, you know, and say that for the next five decades. I was there when, you know, and it's pretty much a, you know, like a marker in Disney history. But if you're not a Star Wars fan, the whole resort didn't immediately sell out in hotel rooms. You know, that was kind of the fear. There's still rooms for these dates. So that tells you that the resort is going to be it's going to be like, you know, in worst case, like a Christmas season or like a New Year's, you know, something like that. But we're not even seeing that. At least I'm not seeing it. And I book travel and I see what the availability is. The rooms are still there. So that means the people are not, it's not sold out resort wide. I would say if you're looking at Animal Kingdom like they are, jackpot. Because the people that are there that are excited for Star Wars are going to be at the studios. They're not going to be at Animal Kingdom. They're not going to be at Magic Kingdom. They're not going to be at Epcot. I mean, there'll be people there. I don't know. That's my feeling. I think you would be totally fine with this.
I think so, too. I mean, I think that you may see a bump in the number of overall people that are there when it opens, right? You're going to see that. You're going to see a bounce in that because there's going to be people coming in specifically for this. But you have to also remember that some of those people are local people and media people who are there specifically to see the Star Wars stuff, right? So there's going to be a lot of bloggers, a lot of local Orlando people, you know, who want to come and see it and all of that. There are going to be people who are coming there specifically for Star Wars, and I imagine they're going to spend a lot of time hanging out to see Star Wars. So I do think that the other parks will be okay. I could be totally, totally wrong. Mm-hmm. But like Mike says, there are still rooms available. So right now that sort of is the best indicator that we have of what's going to go on during those opening weeks. So.
And the people that are there, I mean, you got to realize, like, when you have something shiny and new, for the people that are kind of on the fence, again, we are a small percentage of Disney fans that are really in the know, that are invested in our planning, you know, for some of us years in advance, you know, for this trip. Like, we're listening to podcasts, we're reading blogs, we're checking stuff daily. It's a part of our basic existence. You know, we eat cereal in the morning, we check the blogs, we listen to a podcast on the way to work. We're very connected with everything that's happening on a daily basis. Guess what? 95% or more of the population that's going to be there vacationing with you, they don't know this stuff probably at this level. And the thing is that, you know, a lot of these guests that they're going to get there and be like, whoa, I didn't know that was going to be open. I heard that was going to be open in, you know, Christmas time. And,
right.
You know, it's like the shiny thing's going to draw them like a moth to a flame. And so I think, you know, the studios will be very busy. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be kind of a nut house over there. But because of that, that's going to draw the people out of the Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom and Epcot, I think. There's going to be an overall rise in the crowds. But I don't think if you avoid the studios, and you can still go to the studios, go have a meal, go walk through the land, and hop in the line if you want to ride Smuggler's Run. But I just don't think it's going to be as bad as we're thinking in our mind's eye. Could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, and we won't know until, you know, until it happens.
I know. I mean, I'm excited to see it. It'll be something. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. All right, his other question is very simple. It is, we won't be staying on property. Will we be able to use the gondolas, or is it just for the on-site guests? Thanks in advice, Shahaf. So thank you, Shahaf, for listening over in Israel. We cannot thank you enough for that. That's so awesome. So tell us about the gondolas, Pam.
I have not heard any indication that they're going to be limited to those staying at the Walt Disney Resorts only. The thing is, you'll have to get to one of the areas to take the gondolas. And I will say that parking at any of the Disney resorts is becoming more challenging if you're not staying there or you don't have a dining reservation there. So that's something to think about. You'll probably have to go ahead and probably Hollywood Studios will be the place you'll be able to park and be able to get on the gondolas there. But just note that if you're not staying on site, there is a charge to get to that parking lot. So that's something to think of. The gondolas are also going to be stopping at Caribbean Beach and Pop Century and Art of Animation. But again, I do not believe they'll be allowing guests to park there to experience the gondolas.
No, but what I would do is totally, like, if I'm having a day at Epcot or I'm having a day at the studios, you know, have my day, have my fun, jump on the gondolas, head over to Caribbean Beach and have a meal, you know, explore the resort, or head over to Pop Century and get a tie-dye cheesecake. And I mean, besides the getting guests from point A to point B, a resort to park, I think that's a secondary but a very important thing for Disney, is that it opens up the opportunity for day guests, not only just people staying on site, but day guests to have that opportunity to explore the Disney resorts and maybe go eat and spend some money over at Art or Pop or, you know, Caribbean Beach. That's what
I agree. And there's lots to see in those resorts. I mean, they've made some significant improvements in Caribbean Beach, totally changed the way that that resort flows with, you know, people being able to eat at Center Town, you know, and check in there. And that area looks lovely. They've redone their food court altogether, different offerings, different ways that it works. Again, that looks great. And they've put in a second quick service area, the Spyglass restaurant, in a different part of the Caribbean Beach location to make it easier for folks staying in that part of the resort, because it is sort of a big resort. So lots of things to see. Pop and Art of Animation are always some of our favorites to go and look at.
Absolutely. So, all right. Allison's got a question for you, Pam, about Disneyland. She says, hey, Mike and Pam, I have my first Disneyland trip coming up. We have a premium view for 3 nights at the Disneyland Hotel and a standard view for 3 nights at the Grand Californian. Any locations in the resort you suggest I request?
So any tips? I don't really have specific locations. The only thing I will say that is sort of important, and this varies by guest, is do you like staying up higher or lower? Sometimes at the Disneyland resorts, there's actually a different charge based on how high you are at the resort or something. But if you want to put in something like that you want to stay at one of the higher floors, I think that's something that you can do. But other than that, I really like to just go and see where they put me, because I've had there's some different views there. And I think it's always exciting to get to have a good view. So enjoy.
All right. Let's get a question from Christopher Chabot in the chat. He says, hey, BOGP crew, I'll be in Florida for the week of Easter with a party of 8. We'll primarily be staying in New Smyrna, but we'll be making a 2-day trip to the world on Monday and Tuesday of that week. Part one of my question, we weren't able to get a fast pass for Flight of Passage, but Animal Kingdom has early magic hours the day we arrive. Do you think we'll have a good shot of getting on at Rope Drop, or should we shift our focus to other Animal Kingdom attractions before hopping to Epcot, where we have fast passes for later that day? I mean, I would say if you can be there early enough, you got as good a shot as anybody at getting in that standby queue. And it's, you know, probably an hour or less, I would say, if you get there when it opens. Well, no, he did say, though, they're off-site and there's, he said early morning magic. I guess he's talking about extra magic hours. That does kind of put you behind the eight ball. So then it may be more than an hour, I would say. What do you think?
Yeah, it will probably be a little bit, you know, a little bit longer of a wait because you already have the folks in there for that. But if Pandora is something that's a priority, your best chance to get it is right then. If you feel like you're going to end up spending too much time in line, then I would abandon it. And you know what? Check your app. They, you know, the wait times are on there. So as you're approaching, be checking your app. And if you're seeing like it's 2.5 hours and you know you really only have 4 hours, you may want to consider doing some of the other attractions. You know, heading right to the safari or the other attractions so you can get some of those in.
All right, part two of this question says, with Hoop-Dee-Doo review planned for Monday night at 8:30, we'll only have the chance to see fireworks Tuesday night. Which show do you recommend? Aside from my girlfriend and I, the rest of the family hasn't seen Happily Ever After, but we won't be back again until after Illuminations is long gone. Thanks for all you do, Christopher. So you know me, I'm going to say Illuminations because for you it's Now or Never and it's my favorite show. So that's just me though.
I'm going to say Happily Ever After. I really think at this point it's a more impressive show. It has great music and it has, you know, the Once Upon a Time thing after it too, which we stayed and recently saw again, which I just love. I love that show. The things they can do to that castle.
Yeah, that's true.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Like they make it look like a rocket ship is launching from one of the spires of the castle. I mean, it's just a very cool thing. I love Illuminations too. It has a special place in my heart. But at this time, I'm ready to usher it out so that we can usher in something new. Like, goodbye. Thank you so much for all your service and time that you've given us. And now it's time for the change of the guard.
I love Illuminations, but at least we always have the music. That's why I keep telling Scott, because he's an Illuminations fan too. We always have the music, which is probably the best part. All right, let's get to the last question of the day from Bob in the chat. Sneaking in an Epcot trip last minute with our 2-year-old daughter. Number one, how difficult is it to snag a character spot fast pass later in the afternoon? This will be a rolling fast pass after one. We're going to be there the on Wednesday, April 3rd. This is our first time in Epcot. I would say this one may not be super difficult to get in the afternoon. That sounds like, I mean, it's a lot easier to get in like a Test Track or a Frozen Ever After.
Right. That's what I think too. It's really hard to predict the rolling fast passes. And in my opinion, the park that this works best is definitely Magic Kingdom. Less so with parts of Epcot. And just because there aren't that many attractions that offer FastPass. So many people like me, after they pick their tier one FastPass, have a challenge in picking their next shoe. And they end up just picking something. So consider that. It's hard to predict that. But if I were going to say your possibilities, I would say this one is one that you can sometimes get the rolling FastPass with. So keep that in mind. Otherwise, the waits aren't typically that long either.
That's what I was going to say, watch the app, because you may not even need a fast pass later in the day, because people are riding rides at that point. Yeah, definitely. And that's a good one to get, especially with a 2-year-old. Good pictures. And his second question, last question of the day, best location to watch Illuminations without a fast pass. He says, thanks. Go Detroit Tigers. Fun to watch, but maybe a long season. Good luck to your Tigers. All right. So I like Italy, Japan, and obviously the best places right there is you go into World Showcase from Future World. Dead center on. That's the fast pass spot, but that's a great spot to watch it. But one of those is always my go-to. Pam, do you have any others that you go to?
I love Japan because you get that gate, you know, in your photos, and it's part of your field of vision. I love that. Mexico, there are some great spots there as well. And even from inside the restaurant, depending on where you're sitting. So that's always a great option. And of course, they have that new dining package at Rose and Crown, which we did, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. And it's a great option, too. If you want something like that, I understand you may not, but just wanted to put it out there.
Bonus last question, because Tony's in the chat and I love Tony. He's going on his first Disney cruise. Howdy, Mike and Pam. 48 days till our first Disney cruise. On the day we arrive back in Port Canaveral, about what time should we expect to be back on land and headed to our car with the luggage? Pam, it's usually by 9 o'clock, right? I mean, as soon as I say this, you're going to get fogged in. Cape Canaveral, Port Canaveral is going to be closed, like Galveston happens sometimes every once in a while. But I would say if you look at 9, it could be as early as 8:30, but 9, I would say, is safe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Unless, I mean, this is the thing. This is why Disney Cruise Line doesn't recommend. Say,
unless somebody on your ship smuggling drugs and it doesn't clear customs. Yep.
Gets flights until afternoon because customs is really in charge of that. Sometimes there's a customs delay. There actually was on our ship the last time we cruised. So keep that in mind. The other thing is, if you really want to be off early, like if that's your goal, you can actually do what they call a luggage walk-off. And that means that you would keep your luggage in your room that night. You would not put it out for Disney Cruise Line to go ahead and put in the terminal for you. You would get up that morning and you would just take your luggage and walk it off. It's just exactly what it sounds like. And you get to get off before anybody else does. So consider that as well.
But then you got to take it to breakfast with you, which is kind of a big hassle. Which you got to take your day bags anyway. But, you know, then you're taking your big luggage. And it's like, it's so rough getting off a cruise. There's no way I'm doing it. Well, plus we travel with, like, we bring the house. I mean, this my girls and I, we bring too much. But the thing is, like, it's so hard getting off that ship. I am definitely not hauling off there with all my luggage, too. I would cry.
I have done it quite a few times, actually, just because we have someplace we want to go or whatnot. And we do it. You know what? At that time in the morning, too, there's hardly anyone up and you can actually get an elevator with all of your stuff.
That's true.
So that's something to consider as well.
That's true. Early bird gets the elevator on the cruises.
That's right.
That's how it works. Otherwise, you take the stairs. All right. Well, hope you enjoyed today's Listener Question Show. Thanks so much for being a part of it. If you have a question, email that to Mike at BeerGuestPodcast.com. We'll get that on the show as soon as possible. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky's not here to tell you what's going on with the news, but hey, we just talked about it. We got a new crepe store heading to France, a new crepe shop.
I know, and who doesn't like crepes, right? I mean, you know, that place always has people in it. Chocolate, strawberry, whatnot. I can't imagine some of the crepes that we're going to see there. Plus, doesn't the artist rendering of what that area is going to look like? It's so quaint and so very French. We're very excited about that. So anyways.
We'll not get the sheep chicken there. I don't think.
Chicken.
Apparently Ricky said there's a table service component to this place too. For a great place. I didn't know that. She said that last night. I don't know. Read about it on Theme Park News Disney Edition, free iOS app. So there you go. You got homework. Now you have it. VirtualMickey.com. That's it. All right. Don't forget to please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We sure appreciate that every time you use that. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestPod and at BOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group, Facebook.com/BOurGuestPodcast. All right. We're going to be back again on Thursday with the live show from this past Sunday. And then on Friday, we're going to be back again. You're getting a lot of BRGuestPodcast this week. Sorry about that. But hey, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, just download it and then don't listen. But make sure you download. We like that. But anyway, we're going to be back Friday talking about why a deluxe resort might make sense for your next Walt Disney World vacation. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike wishing you a great Wednesday. Thanks for the great questions and time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.